King Radio Network at ParanormalKing.com.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of October 16th, 2018. And this is episode number 372. And this is your host, as always, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. We have quite the wild show in store for you tonight. And if you're live in the chat room, you're going to have some extra special treats in store for you tonight, because I've got a lot of pictures. I've done a lot of work. Done some research on some of these stories, and if you're in the chat room, you're going to see the fruits of my labor. Well, I didn't go into labor, but, you know, fruits of my work, I guess I should say. And you'll be able to see some of these photographs and comparisons and observations and different things that I've come up with. And tonight we're going to be talking... My goodness, they're back. We're going to be talking about alligator sightings. If you tuned in last week, you heard about some alligator sightings in the Lake Michigan area. And, they're continuing. There's even more. I don't know what's going on out there. I don't know if this is going to be the Wessie of 2018. If you remember Wessie, I can't remember. These years all kind of blur together. But there was a big story about a snake up in Maine. And, it was a big deal. But now we have alligators this year. I don't know what's going on. And we're also going to talk about a human-like sea creature filmed in California. That one's a little scary. You might want to leave the lights on for that one. And what about the giant, invisible, bright UFO filmed over Chile, seen by no one? And if that doesn't make any sense, don't worry, it will later on. And we'll also talk about the big story this week in UFO news of the To the Stars Academy. We'll sort that out and give you some little bit of clarification, because it seems like it's going in two different directions. But we'll put it on one singular path for you tonight. So we'll find out if the To the Stars have a debt to the moon. Okay, thanks for the laugh. And we'll also talk about the strange object that washed ashore. This was a story I kind of cut off last week because I went a little over, and I wanted to keep this, I like keeping the show to an hour. I don't want to keep going on and on and on and talk too long and interject too many stories and get in a rush. And also, this story was hoping would evolve a little bit, but it really hasn't, but there is a little bit of a strange update to tie into this and probably give a little bit more clarity as to what's going on. It's kind of a cool story. I got a little excited when I was reading it, and it was almost late to the show tonight. So it's kind of a somewhat late-breaking story, although it was kind of taking place over the weekend and just kind of listening in a little bit to it. So, yes, conferences, conventions, as I always talk about here in the beginning of the show. My goodness, my ghost calendar is whittling down. I do know there's probably a couple that I could add to this if I get around to it. But definitely check out the list of paranormal conferences, conventions on the website of paranewsinsider.com. And to keep up to date on some of the events that are happening throughout the United States. Yeah, it's not a end-all, be-all list. I do my best to bring you what I can, but I don't know. I know there's been plenty that have been dropping for the end of this year, and I really haven't gotten around to putting too many on there, so I do apologize. But if you do know of one that's not on my list, shoot me an email, and that'll put some pressure on me to get that put on the list for this year. I'm also working on the list for 2019. Pretty soon, I have a few that I know I'm going to be at, as well as a few that people have sent in my direction. So looking for that, it'll start getting put together pretty soon, and I'll start having some of those up and ready to go, hopefully before December. So you can start planning out your new year by going to some events. I highly recommend it. If you haven't been to one of these before, you haven't been to one in a while, or you're really thinking about going to one, I highly recommend getting out there and meeting some of these people. And to kind of give you a little personal story here, over the last weekend, I drove about 6 hours east of where I live here in Northeast Ohio to a little town called Columbia, Pennsylvania, where I presented at the El Batwitch Day along with fellow speakers Tim Renner, good friend Rick Fisher, along with local author David Glass, who talked about his books, his book projects. And, you know, it was a little cooler than what I had anticipated. I knew it wasn't going to be warm, but it was a little cooler than I thought. And it was a little bit rainy in the morning, which I was not expecting. And I think between the rain and the cold temperatures, it kept some people away. But all told, I was very surprised by the amount of people that were there, despite the weather. And I think everybody that was there had a good time. And I think they were very, very well informed as to some of the topics that we were talking about. And Tim Renner talked about some local things with the El Batwitch sightings, which was pretty interesting to see on a map, even though I'm not from the area. It was very, very interesting. And as well to see some of the locals reacting to these stories and asking questions about other things and just kind of getting a feel for this local piece of folklore. And also seems to be some stories that are still happening with this El Batwitch. And if you've never heard of the El Batwitch, it's essentially a shorter version of Bigfoot. So maybe a 3 to 4 foot tall, as it's described, wild creature that lives in the woods and basically eats apples. And you could have taken a trolley ride out to Chickie's Rock, which is where a majority of these sightings had occurred. So it's kind of the epicenter, I guess you would say. And if you take the trolley ride out there during this event, you can throw apples out in the woods and hopefully you can see a little El Batwitch come running out and snatch one of your apples. That would have been exciting, but I was too caught up in what was going on downtown to get out there. But hopefully next year. It was a great event. They actually closed off an entire street and had a kind of a huge party down there. They had a stage set up with a bunch of bands. It was cool music. I'm not into the overly heavy metal, but it was some pretty good music. All local bands. It was entertaining. They also had vendors set up. People were selling books and other merchandise up and down the street. And it's a really old storefront area. So some of these buildings were very, very old, probably, you know, easily mid to late 1800s, and some of original stained glass windows and things like that. I was really excited to see that. I kind of forget, being from Ohio, we don't have things that are too old too much. And the further east you get, you get to enjoy some of these older buildings. And it was very, very nice. And I tell you, when we were speaking in the historical building, it was actually pretty full. There was plenty of people in there, even though it was a little away from the street area. But I was very impressed with the overall event, especially with the amount of people that were coming to listen to the speakers. And it was also nice to, I bumped into a few listeners of this show, the Paranormal News Insider, including Diane, who is on the committee for putting together the El Batwitch Day event. And it's nice to catch up with her and kind of share my thoughts on how great the event was going and maybe some of the opportunities, which any event that goes on is going to have opportunities. But I think all in all, it was a fantastic event. I was very impressed with how it was put together and the stories behind everything and how the town was really involved in this whole event. And it was great to meet some people that I've only talked to via social media. Finally, good to catch up with some people and actually sit down and talk to them. It was great to hear some of these local stories about different things, especially on my topic, which was talking about mysterious large cats as well as black cat sightings in the area. So it was great to exchange information as well as share some of my research about some stories that were actually happening in the county just across the Susquehanna River that were taking place fairly recently. So It was, all in all, it was a great time, and I'm glad I went to, even if I didn't speak, I think it would have been very, very informative, and it was great to meet so many new people. Not to say that I don't like bumping into the same people over and over at a lot of these other events that I do go to, but it's nice sometimes to get out to different locations and meet new people. So, yeah, if you're not going to these kinds of events, you're really missing out. You're missing out on meeting diverse people with different backgrounds, not even just the speakers, but the people that show up to these events that have a similar interest as you. So definitely get out there. Get out to these conferences, conventions, and enjoy your time there. It is fun. And yeah, I might actually should be on Bill Reap's show pretty soon, I think. I got to get a hold of him. Had a chance to talk to him while he was out there, and he wants me on his show, so we'll see about that. Got to get a hold of him. And with that, I'm excited. I want to jump into this news. I hope you don't mind, because this is some really interesting stuff, and I want to get into these gators. And like I said, I got a lot of pictures to show tonight. I don't think I had one of the gator, though. He's a little guy. Wish I would have had the picture of him. I don't think I do. Let's see. I don't think I got the one of the gator. He's a real cute guy. He's a little dude. A little gator guy. Maybe I can find him as I'm talking about this story. But it's an interesting thing. If you do remember, last week I was talking about alligators found in Lake Michigan, which is kind of weird to say that these alligators are out there, and sometimes people don't realize that alligators, they can survive in cold water, in cold weather. It's not completely out of the ordinary. They won't survive very long, but they can survive, and it will cause their body to slow down, their metabolism to stop, or at least slow down a lot. So it doesn't make life interesting for them, but it's not impossible for them to live in the cold weather. So, you know, as we discovered last week, but this week, yeah, there's a couple more stories, and it's not in Chicago, and it's not in the Great Lakes. It happened in a place that you would never guess, out in the middle of nowhere. Very strange location indeed. Not really a place that we talk too much here about these kinds of stories. I'm stalling here. I'm trying to find this picture. Got a good picture here. This is kind of funny. So anyway, yeah, I covered the story from Chicago last week. Well, later on in the week, another alligator was discovered in a weird place, nowhere near a large lake. A driver in a town about 20 miles west of Kansas City, Missouri. Actually, Kansas City, Kansas. Well, they're right next to each other. This driver was initially startled when she saw an alligator walk out in front of her car on October 8th. Well, who wouldn't be? Deputies had a hard time wrangling the alligator as the 4-foot-long reptile actually lunged at one of them, and he ended up pulling his gun on it. We didn't shoot, so no shots were fired. The alligator was fine, but they actually didn't even capture the alligator. That's scary. It wasn't even captured. The gator ended up getting back home on its own as it had escaped from a nearby residence. But that's not the end of the story, as they say. That's just part of it, because there was another alligator sighting pretty close to this one. It was actually about 20 miles south of the first one. And the first alligator, yeah, he was 4 foot long, which doesn't sound very big until you see a 4 foot long alligator. Then you'll realize that it's not as simple as you think to see something that big. 4 foot alligator sounds small when it's a toy, but when it's a real alligator, you're a little bit nervous. But this one here, the second one, was only about 2 feet long and was actually found hiding underneath someone's car. And the city of Olathe, Texas, or I'm sorry, Kansas, where the second alligator was found, according to this article, it says that there is a law against owning them. So the alligator was confiscated from underneath this car and will be transported to a reptile rescue facility in Kansas. So poor little guy. Well, hopefully he gets a home and we get to see him, live a long, fruitful life somewhere. I don't know where, but kind of weird. I mean, the odds of seeing an alligator in Kansas in the streets is pretty slim, I would think. And the odds of seeing two alligators within 20 miles of each other roaming the streets, I would say would be pretty significant or insignificant. But wow, it happened, and it happened in October in Kansas. So I don't know, kind of weird. Yeah, I probably shouldn't work as I'm doing the show, but I'm doing it. I'm trying to get this, get a nice little picture of this gator for you guys in the chat room. My goodness, you're going to have like 20 pictures tonight of all these different things that are going on all over the news. And let me get that in there. So yeah, if you're live in the chat room, you get these bonus things. You get photographs. You get some of these things that I put together. You also get links to some of these stories that I've also put together from a lot of work that I've done collecting some of these things. And it's not just the same ones you're going to get from the Anomalous or Unexplained Mysteries or some of these other paranormal websites or from some of these ones that just pop up on news feeds and things like that. You're going to get, I do the research, so I try to find these things. So here's a little picture of in the chat room of the guy that this deputy here that's approaching this alligator. Yeah, it doesn't look very big, but you should see when it lunged at him and how fast he ran away. It was quite funny, actually. So let me post that link there in the chat room. So again, yeah, if you're in the chat room, you get to check that out. You can also Google it, obviously. You can look that up. Who doesn't know how to do that anymore? So you can find these links yourself. But if you're not live in the chat room, which, you know, I get it. Some people just don't have time to hang out on a Tuesday night and listen to the show live. I get it. I'm not offended. I get it. I have things to do on other nights of the week, so I totally understand. You can still catch all these stories as I'll put them through a Facebook feed, which is connected to my Twitter feed during the week. And so both links are in the chat room now. The first one from the initial story and the second one from the follow-up story of the little guy, little two-footer, both found in Kansas. So interesting, weird stuff. I mean, what are the odds? Especially a couple of weeks now, we've heard stories of alligators being discovered in places where they don't belong. And you may wonder, well, what does that have to do with cryptozoology? Some people don't agree with lumping in animals that don't belong in a certain area to cryptozoology. It's actually a battle within cryptozoology. Between cryptozoologists, some people don't, I guess you could call them purists, don't believe that out-of-place animals belong in cryptozoology. It's usually the battle between people, and I get some funny stares or funny looks when I do talk about that at conventions. But I do think that it does belong because a lot of times these stories can lead to unknown creatures being known in areas. So therefore, I think they're highly related. And, I mentioned, I've talked before, I think, on the show about the rhesus monkeys that are living in Sulphur Springs, Florida. And if you have heard any stories about along the Florida-Georgia line, which is not just a band, it's also a location, there are stories of people seeing a wild man who's about 2 to 3 feet tall. And I would guess, I would venture that's probably related to these monkeys, that one probably got a little too far away from home and somebody saw this thing. So, you know, we talk about alligators in the sewers, and we talk about these alligator stories. Well, here you go. You know, when you have real stories like this, these are going to be known in folklore from years from now, and you'll never really realize where these things come from. And if people start talking about these, and again, in folklore, which then ultimately becomes a cryptozoological story, then at least we have the reality behind them and not just a story. So, yeah, these are animals that were let loose by people, unfortunately, or got loose on their own. So we know that people contributed to that. But nonetheless, I still think that it's very related to cryptozoology. So that's why I do talk about them and I do include them in the Paranormal News Insider, because they are still attached to the subject. And I think that they could potentially lead to other stories related to cryptozoology. And speaking of strange creatures and unknown animals, a set of photographs have surfaced of a mysterious creature seen in the Pacific Ocean at Huntington Beach, California. Yes, photographs have surfaced. That's the wettest of my dry humor that you're going to get here on the show. But hopefully you got a chuckle out of that. Anyway, the headline of the Daily Star made this sound like a scary situation, as it said, quote, "Mysterious human-like sea creature looking in the water leaves beachgoers terrified. A bizarre creature sparked terror on the shores after beachgoers failed to identify what was heading their way." Unquote. Scary, scary headline. But despite this description, in many stories saying there is a video, there's actually only a few photographs, including one that is just water, where which was taken back on October 3rd by a man only identified as George. So these pictures were picked up by somebody, sent to somebody, somebody's website, and they made a nice little video, which if you want to make any money, which I shouldn't be recommending this, all you got to do is take somebody's weird picture, say it's a creature, and make a nice 3 to 5 minute YouTube video, put it out there, and eventually, well, you got to have a channel too, that would help. Eventually, somebody from some UK magazine is going to pick it up, and you'll probably make about $20 to $40. They'll make thousands of dollars because of click-throughs on their stories, because they can get the story out further than you can, but you're going to get a little lump check in your, in one of your, well, probably in the mail. So, yeah, good luck. But they seem to be picking up anything and everything lately, and it's really keeping me busy, but also driving me nuts at the same time, because these stories are just ridiculous, in my opinion. So, George states of his encounter, quote, "I was sitting on the sand and saw a frenzy of fish. Water was splashing and the fish were jumping out, so I went to take a photo and caught this. I've been a surfer all my life and have never seen anything like this before," unquote. So was this a mermaid or merman, as some people were claiming? Or was this a Loch Ness monster trying to catch some SoCal waves? Well, probably not. I'm going to guess with none of the above. That is my guess. So let me throw, in case you haven't seen this, I'm going to throw a picture of kind of a composite of two of these pictures combined. The guy that did the video basically showed all three pictures, but didn't really give you a whole lot of time to really digest what you're seeing before they zoomed in. And zooming in shows you a lot less detail than if you just see the overall picture. But anyway, I'll throw that picture there in the chat room so you can check it out. And so this is a composite of these two different videos. Yeah, it doesn't look like much, does it? It looks like just a bunch of mess. But you see water splashing. So it's obviously an object coming out of the water. So it's got to be something living, a living creature, or maybe some kind of object. But who knows? And I don't know. It's just weird. But you really can't identify it, which is kind of what this guy says here in the video. So But I'll be honest, one of my biggest issues so far, especially of 2018, that I've noticed, this has come up a lot, and not just for these mysterious animals, but also with UFOs and a lot of stuff, and you'll find this other stories tonight as well. But iPhones are causing a lot of problems. iPhones in general, they've been responsible for a lot of paranormal photos lately, especially, well, not just this year, but last year we had a few where the panoramic attempts create a lot of other things, and just the mechanics of these cameras have caused a lot of problems, especially when people don't understand what they're seeing or how a camera works or how it fills in information when objects are in motion. It's very simple things, but people get carried away and think they catch ghosts all the time. So it's just iPhones are driving me nuts. I'm not a big iPhone fan. I don't have one of those. I've got an Android phone myself. Yeah, but we don't like each other, right? iPhone people don't like the Android people and vice versa. But Android sells more phones, believe it or not. Even though it seems like everyone walks around with an iPhone, there's actually more Android users. So take that. But anyway, what about these photographs? Do they have a logical solution? What's in these pictures? Now, I do agree, again, with the narrator on the YouTube channel of Mr. MBB333. I don't know. I have no idea what that means, but that's his YouTube channel name. That he originally published this story that these objects here are not recognizable. Well, yeah, they're not recognizable, especially when they're blurry or you're zooming in on this thing. And it's just there's not enough information from what you're seeing to identify it. It doesn't mean that it's not identifiable or it's not a creature that is known. It's just we can't, from the cruddy pictures, be able to discern exactly what we're looking at here. But he does say that while he does not recognize the object, he does incorrectly say that he doubts anyone else can either. This is one of the largest mistakes made by paranormal and anomalous researchers. Many out there assume that just because they can't explain it means that no one else can either. And this is a big problem in the paranormal. So many times people post ghost evidence or a picture of the woods and say that it's a Bigfoot, definitively a Bigfoot, and no one else can prove me otherwise. Or, you know, again, like I just said, that nobody else can figure this out because I have no clue. It doesn't mean that there is no explanation. Doesn't mean that it's paranormal. It just means that you don't know how to problem solve. Yeah, I said it. But anyway, within the comments section of that actual video on YouTube, many do claim that they do in fact recognize this creature as an orca, also known as a killer whale, or as a dolphin. And which, I don't know, my best guess would probably be one of these two creatures, probably more likely a dolphin than an orca. And I would probably guess because an orca's fin, a dorsal fin, would be much taller than what you're seeing in the photograph. And I would assume that if you're that close, you would definitely be able to tell an orca from a dolphin. I think the reason why people say orca is because there's a little bit of white on the top of this creature, but that's not where white would be on an orca, to be honest. And I can say that from a person who has seen over 100 orca in the wild, as well as pet one up close at a former SeaWorld location here in Northeast Ohio. So not saying I'm an expert on orca or killer whale, but I've seen enough of them, seen them in the water, kind of to know that that's, I don't think that that is one. Could be, but highly doubt it. Yeah, it was fun. It was neat. And at the time that I got to touch this whale, I thought it was like the greatest animal moment of my life. And then I realized how horrible it is to keep these animals in captivity. So kind of felt guilty later on, but I made up for it by going out and seeing them in the wild. It was the probably the most exciting nature moment of my life so far. Hopefully I get to see a mountain lion in the wild, and that'll hopefully eclipse that. But anyway, back to the California thing here. So an orca. So yeah, dorsal fin would be much taller than what we see in the photograph. And there are orca in the area that are seen not frequently, pretty infrequently, but they're essentially transients. So they don't really make a home in that area. And they do have a tendency, obviously, to eat fish. They'll also eat seals and other larger creatures, as the resident orcas that live in the Pacific Northwest. They actually only eat salmon. They don't actually eat seals. So believe it or not, they don't all eat bigger creatures. Some of them only eat the salmon, even though the seals are deathly afraid of them. They're always on the watch for them, as they sit on the rocks. But anyway, some South American orca are known to actually beach themselves as they chase seals onto the shore in an attempt to capture them. I'm sure maybe you've seen this before, some really wild videos of these orca chasing the seals through the surf and actually beaching themselves, and they have to kind of wiggle to get back into the water and swim away, hopefully, with a seal as a reward. But this only happens in certain beaches in South America, and it's never been seen in California. It's never been documented anywhere but these beaches in South America. So odds are it's not a orca chasing a fish through the surf toward the shore. And this behavior, yeah, it's really, really not known. I'm trying to figure out. I have a picture here. I'm not sure what picture I'm supposed to show. Well, show this one. I only got two. So I'll show you it's a picture of a wider angle of the one that I just showed on the right. So it looks like, to me, kind of looks like a dolphin breaking the surf and coming toward the viewer. I would have definitely thought that this person would be able to figure that out if that were the case, that this were a dolphin. But again, even if a person does and they think that they can make a little bit of money off this thing, who's to say that they wouldn't? You know, if this dolphin did dive and the wave went over top of it, maybe it swam back into deeper water. They might not have been able to identify it. But to me, this seems to be a very logical solution to this particular story. And in the last few years, Huntington Beach, where this happened, they have had some issues with sharks and stingrays chasing fish close to shore, causing some panic and a few minor injuries. And dolphins are frequently seen in the area. And really and truly, any longtime surfer, well, they would know that. There's plenty of videos out there that show dolphins swimming in Huntington Beach along with surfers as well as in along the shoreline. So if we see that, we know that that definitely happens. I think that's a potential explanation. Granted, looking at these pictures, how pixelated they are, there's just not enough definition. But to me, what you're seeing is obviously a sea creature, well, an ocean creature in the ocean, and they blend into the color of the water, which to me would probably be a dolphin. I mean, what other animal would be in that area? Well, I'm not saying that the people in California are brain dead, but you know, maybe they're pretty smart that they think they can fool other people and that think the rest of us are brain dead as well. But I don't know. We shall see. That's another pun. Anyway, let's go to UFO news. And we're going to, again, The Mirror. My goodness, I should own stock in this company. How many stories I get from The Mirror. But this headline. Here's the headline. Are you ready for this? Quote, mysterious UFOs in shape of white orbs of light speed across sky at South America's highest monument. Unquote. Well, that's the headline that accompanies what could be the most dramatic UFO video in the history of dramatic UFO videos, or quite possibly the worst story that Kellyanne Mills has ever published at The Mirror. Yes, The Mirror. One of many of the United Kingdom-based online rag magazines that constantly publishes anything viral especially anything paranormal, to get attention from a wide market of viewers, essentially for click-throughs and advertising dollars. There's plenty of advertisements on this webpage, and every time somebody clicks on it, the mirror is making a little handful of cash. And believe it or not, these paranormal stories, despite having usually very logical, very simple answers, they do get a lot of click-throughs. And these UFO channels are very eager to sell these stories for a couple of dollars, I guess. I don't know how much money they make, but it's just, I don't know. I guess they do make some money somehow, some way, but I don't know. But it seems like they keep churning them out as fast as they can. And I don't know. It's just, to me, it's really aggravating that I have to see these things, because most of them do have a logical explanation to them. But, you know, as long as they roll in and they become viral, I kind of have no choice but to kind of break them down for you and try to get people to understand what you're seeing. And maybe I can help eventually cut down on these PayPal donations to these websites. Facebook is trying to shut a lot of these down, and as is Twitter, because a lot of these websites are just spreading misinformation. It's what you'd call fake news. I know a lot of people don't like hearing that phrase, but it's true. There's a lot of fake news going around. And this latest purported UFO video, yeah, it does show some orbs. It shows a glowing white orb outside of a window when suddenly the camera pans left and the person seems like they're running to a window to see what else is going on out there. And all of a sudden, wow, you see another white orb. And all of a sudden, this white orb suddenly zooms in towards the camera as if the camera person was caught in the act of filming it and they were trying to scare him away. And then all of a sudden, it zooms around. Zooms away a little bit and zooms around. Oh, gosh. I'll tell you what, I'm surprised. I'm very surprised that there's not panic in the streets over this incident, especially where it was filmed. And it was filmed through observation windows at the Cruz del Tercer Milenio, or to those up here in North America, that's the Third Millennium Cross, which is located in northern Chile and stands about 83 meters high for my South American and Canadian friends. But here in the United States, that's 272 feet. And if you've never seen this thing, well, I got a picture for you. I'd never seen it either. I'd heard of it, but I'd never really seen a picture of this thing. So I had to take a look. So throw that in here in the chat room. Very gingerly, it is a historical object, and it's a spiritual object, as you can tell by the shape of it. Yes, it's a giant cross, I guess. And you can look at the object, and you can see there on the cross piece, you can see there's a bunch of little windows. And this is where this video was filmed from. One of these little windows. Yes. So, to the video. This astounding UFO video should have been reported by thousands of people. And there should have been dozens of videos of this amazing object. Hundreds of people visit this memorial daily. And the countryside would have been busy with people. As you can see in this picture, there are nothing but houses around this thing. It's just carved into the mountainside, basically. Looks like they just took the top of the mountain and they just plopped this cross right down with a building inside of it. And it's actually purportedly to be the tallest monument in South America. 272 feet. Yeah, it's even bigger than Christ the Redeemer. And there's a couple of other ones that are, I thought were a lot bigger. But quickly looking through some of the sizes, which is why I was a little late to the show almost tonight, was looking up stuff like that. I get sidetracked. I call it the squirrel effect. You see something and you start researching and you go down a tunnel, and sometimes it takes a while to get out of it. And sometimes I forget to bring a rope to climb out of it. But anyway, yes, this astounding UFO video should have been reported by thousands of people. There should have been a lot more videos of this, and it should have been reported everywhere, but it wasn't. Why? I mean, it looks pretty scary to me. And yeah, this object, yeah, it is the tallest, but it's not the highest. It's I think it's like 2,000 feet or something, but it's not even close to some of the other stuff that's higher up. But why not? Why was this? Why did nobody else get this? This should have been one of the most easily captured. I mean, a bright white object in the sky during the middle of the day. Why did no one else get this? Why is this not all over the place? This should have been the leading story down there in Chile and the news. They love UFOs down there. They actually have many South American countries. Their newscasts actually have ufologists that cover the news, just like we do weather and sports. They do the same thing with UFOs down there. They have a nightly UFO report in some of these places, especially Mexico City. So why wasn't this covered down there? I don't know. Well, the reason that there are no other videos, I'll kind of spoil it for you. And the reason there are no other videos is this one really isn't a UFO. It's not even a good fake. If you watch the video of this, you probably shouldn't watch it more than twice before you figure it out. If you watch it more than twice and you can't figure it out, well, I don't know what to tell you. It's pretty simple. You should figure it out. Most people seem like they figure this out. So of the two comments on the Mirror article that I saw earlier this evening, both pointed to the fact that this was shot inside, obviously behind glass, and that there was a light on either the camera of the phone or another device behind the phone, which is more than likely the same object. It was more than likely the phone had a light on it, so probably they left a flash on or something. And I don't know if they were fooled by this or they intentionally tried to do this. And here's a kind of a composite that I'm going to put in the chat room. And this composite is of four pictures taken of this video. And it's only of a couple of seconds of time. So what you're seeing in the top left is the initial white orb seen through one of the windows. And you see I numbered them, 1, 2, 3, 4. So number one there is a white object seen. It looks like it's out over the ocean. You can see the countryside down below, but there's a white object. Now the person runs through. You see them in the video pull back away from this window, turn to their left, or maybe even turn all the way around and run toward another window. And just as the person goes by, you see on the wall, if you look closely, you'll see a little bit of white splashing on the white wall. Then all of a sudden, it shows up pretty well on the exterior frame of the window. You can actually see the reflection on the wall of the light. And then the light, all of a sudden, if you follow that, all of a sudden it goes on the window. And then all of a sudden, as the person gets closer to the window, as you can tell on these two screen captures, that the person's perspective is obviously a little bit different, and the light is, or the color behind it is more rich because they're out of the light of the inside area, that light is right next to them. It's very close up. And then after that, the video does move back. And mysteriously, that light moves away. You think I'm right? No, I am right. I'm absolutely right. I mean, this is, I'm not the only one that has said this. I'm not the only one that's come to this conclusion. UFO of Interest, which is somebody that you should always watch. What's his name? Scott Brando does a fantastic job of busting these things pretty much right away. I'm usually very careful before I say anything about this kind of stuff, like I just claimed now. I'm very careful before I say that I want to do the work. I want to make sure that what I'm seeing is what I'm seeing, that I'm not just saying what I think or what I feel, because that's not accurate. It's never good to let your emotions or your beliefs dictate what you think you're seeing, especially on these things. Let the evidence speak for itself. Don't speak for the evidence. And I don't like doing that. So I've watched the video a number of times, and it's not that hard. This one is pretty easy to bust, especially if you watch it in slow motion. You can follow the light inside and know it's not a reflection from behind him. Somebody had tried to say that in one of the messages that I saw, but no. I do find it very hard to believe that the person filming this did not realize it at the time that this is what was going on. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they were just really excited about this. And I don't know. Maybe they just got a little carried away. But some might watch the video and wonder, again, why the first light scene did not move as the camera did in the last shot. Now, this was something that did confuse me at first, and I did question my thought process behind this and thought, well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this isn't all told a light from this person. Maybe they did see something floating in the sky, then as they moved to this other window, maybe their light was reflecting in the window, because that second piece is definitely a reflection. But if you kind of put things in perspective, if the video does open looking out one window, but the person is actually a few feet away from it, they're kind of actually far away from that window. So as the person turns and moves quickly toward the other window, yeah, you can clearly see the light reflected on the wall. And when it appears on the window, the light gets closer to the camera, since it's actually the camera getting closer to the window. And in the opening scene, again, it's pretty far away. So as the camera moves, that light is actually not going to move as much as what it would if you were closer up. So some basic observations busts that UFO story. And I will throw that in the chat room. And again, if you're listening and you can't make it to the chat room, I get it. Don't worry. I'm not gonna hide all this stuff from you, as I will be putting this out through my socials. Yeah, my social media, I'm trying to be hip and cool with the lingo. So through the social media, through Facebook, as well as through Twitter. So Facebook, you can find me at Paranews Insider. So facebook.com/Paranews Insider on Twitter at Paranews Insider. So there's the link. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of orbs regardless, especially UFO orbs shot behind glass with iPhones with lights on them. So anyway, more UFO news, and I kind of teased it earlier on in the show. Yes, to the Stars Academy, if you've heard this story, it's kind of evolving as we speak. Well, as I speak, unless you're speaking, I don't know if you're speaking. So To the Stars Academy became the target of a misleading article on Monday, October 15th. The article claimed that the company is a whopping $37.4 million in debt. Yes, $37.4 million. Tom DeLonge of the musical group Blink 182 fame has been under fire for a number of things that the To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences has done over the last year or so, but this attack, this one hurts him where it's at. The wallet. I mean, that's where it's at. It's all about money. So DeLonge fired back via a now-removed Instagram post, which read in part, quote, "This article is highly misleading and grossly mischaracterizes statements in an SEC filing." Mr. Berger apparently did not even read the filing in its entirety and clearly did not understand the excerpt of the SEC filing he quotes, unquote. So DeLonge also commented that the writer of the article did not contact him for further clarification of the information that was published in this SEC filing. He clarified the findings by stating, quote, "The approximate $37 million stakeholders deficit is not debt, as he characterized, but is attributed to stock-based compensation expense," unquote. Well, that sounds very fancy. stock-based compensation expense. So what does all this mean? So to put it in perspective, what this essentially means is the $37.4 million, again, it's not debt, because debt is basically borrowed money. So this isn't borrowed money from anybody. But it is what he claims is a deficit, which is basically spending more money than you're taking in. So unless the TTSA can bring in some more revenue, they will certainly be in debt when they eventually have to pay some bills. And according to an article in motherboard.vice.com, and don't normally quote other websites' stories, but I'm going to quote the story here. Says, quote, in September 2017, the company began selling $50 million worth of stock to fund its operations, and its website claims to have a total of 2,547 investors. According to the SEC filing, however, To the Stars has only sold a little over $1 million worth of stock to date. Unquote. So no matter how they try to spin this, information is far from positive when it comes to the future of this company. And also mentioned in the article is how DeLong and others actually get royalties in excess of $100,000 each, no matter what results the company has. While many view the TTSA as the leader in discovering evidence of UFOs and pushing disclosure to the governments of the world, while others see this as nothing more than a money-making scheme that has lacked in providing anything credible, and some point to the video that accompanied the acquisition and data analysis materials, which again sounds all fancy, also known as ADAM, the ADAM project, where it showed team members unwrapping purported pieces of UFOs and other evidence. I mean, one would think that a company designed for discovery would have taken some sort of precaution against actually touching these objects in case they were, they were radioactive or actually pieces of UFOs that you don't want tainted with DNA evidence. But I think this is symbolic to this latest story, and I wonder if this just isn't the crack in the wall that eventually leads to the collapse of this venture. So some not so good news about the To The Stars Academy. If you're a fan of this, I'm kind of highly speculative, and you know, a lot of people don't trust MUFON because of their people that they're attached to and where they get some of their money. But I think To The Stars Academy is pretty much no different. And I think people are a little starstruck because of Tom DeLong being attached to this project. But I still don't trust it as far as I can throw it. And that link there is also in the chat room. So other news. I don't want this to get away another week here. So I want to cover this one quickly. And again, this story shouldn't really be paranormal, but due to a few bloggers that are looking for some extra cash, it seems like I say this a lot, I'm pretty sure there's actually a logical solution to this. But until there is, and there's still not a definitive answer, it's a mystery story about a strange object washed ashore, which we've talked about a lot over the 10-year course of this story, going all the way, or of this show, going all the way back to 2008. With the Montauk Monster. If you don't remember that one, you can Google that guy. It's pretty spooky looking. So the Daily Star reported that a large, strange object washed ashore on a South Dakota beach. Well, that's partially right, but it's actually Seabrook Island in South Carolina, not South Dakota. I don't know if they actually fixed that or not. South Carolina seems to have won a little bit of fanfare recently. There seems to be a lot of cool stories coming out of South Carolina. I covered the one a couple of weeks ago about the UFO seen over the beach, which wasn't a UFO. But anyway, this large object has been speculated to be everything from a UFO to space junk, all the way down to just a buoy or some other logical but yet boring solution. Many sites are focusing on the fact that it was taken away by city officials seemingly very quickly without official word. And some are saying that this means that it was some sort of alien technology or something else that's a secret. Yeah, it's not South Dakota. South Carolina. They got it wrong. I didn't get it wrong. I just quoted what they said. Yeah, that's what I was confused when I first read the story. I was like, there's a beach in South Dakota? What? They can't figure out what this object is? So that's when I thought of maybe it fell from space. But South Carolina, well, as you'll discover here in the next couple of minutes, it's not very an odd thing to happen. So city officials did take the object away very quickly, but it was just due to public safety as well as to identify what it was, which they still haven't. And the story is about 2 weeks old now. So it wouldn't be very good to allow this this object, this large object, to re-enter the water and eventually was up to someone else to have to deal with this. So let me throw, I do have a picture of this thing. And you can see this object in case you haven't seen it. It's pretty big. It's a pretty weird shape. If you've not seen this thing, let me throw that in the chat room. Very gently, because it's very big. And don't want to hurt anybody. And success. Well, there it is. So it's a giant object. And people say the tower's over the lady in the background, but I don't think it's actually taller than the lady. I think that's just forced perspective, the way they took a picture of this thing. There's a couple of key things here that you're looking at with this object. One is the shape of it, the overall shape of it. Looks like a giant, like a nut from a nut and bolt. But one of the big key things is if you look at the bottom part and right there in the middle, there's a square shape cut out of it. Keep that in mind here. Keep that in mind for a second here. So the speculation about what the object might be is all over the place. Again, from a UFO to even parts of the space shuttle Challenger. By more than one person, they think this is a rocket booster or something. Mysterious, yes, but the object seems to be made of foam, not of concrete. A lot of people see this and they think, wow, that's got to be concrete. It's got to be pretty heavy. But no, it's made out of foam. So many guesses as a buoy or other object used to float or protect boats is more than likely correct. And one of the most guessed objects is what's called a pipeline float. And let me throw a picture of a pipeline float in the chat room so you can see what this is. And this particular one wasn't the one I was looking for. There are other pipeline floats that actually have a square area cut out in the middle of them, pretty much where that guy is standing, right where his stomach is. And that's where they're threaded through. Some of them are threaded through the long tubular area. And some are, I've seen pictures of them that have the holes through, and there's actually ropes through them to keep them together. So that's kind of my guess. I'm pretty sure that's probably what it is. Until anything comes forward with nothing has, that's probably the most correct. It's the right shape and it's the right size if you look at this person for perspective. And again, it's not the entire object. It's only part of it. So it must have broken in half. And again, odds are pretty good that where that square is cut out all the way through that object through the other side. So that would have been a weak part of this object. So if it were to get hit, let's say in storm damage, which there's been plenty of storms, that it probably broke apart. Again, it's made out of foam. So it probably did break apart in that area and did eventually wash ashore. And strange objects like this do wash up on the shore all the time. And even in this particular area, it's said to be a consistent thing. Now, I do have one little quick story, so don't go anywhere yet. And this is going to help put this last story into some pretty good perspective. So don't wander off. Don't walk away. Don't tune out. Don't leave yet, Jordan. We're not done yet. You got to hear this last piece. And I'm going to throw the link of that in the chat room real quick before I get to this story, the second half of this. So speaking of finding strange objects on the beach as being a consistent thing, yeah, there's a bit of a follow-up here, but I'm getting a little excited about this because this next story mentions Ocracoke Island. And if you've ever heard the word Ocracoke, you might know where I'm going. It's famous for being the last stand for Blackbeard the pirate. the notorious pirate. You know him. He's had the smoke coming from his hair and his beard in order to frighten his enemies. And back on November 22nd, 1718, yes, we're coming up on the 300-year anniversary where Blackbeard was killed and beheaded during a battle on Ocracoke Island. And yeah, his boat was found. The his ship, you know, wasn't there. It was like 400 miles south of that area. But now another mystery has, yes, surfaced, or should I say washed ashore. On Sunday, over this last weekend, a piece of a rocket was discovered, which is now confirmed to belong to SpaceX. In fact, this is actually the second discovery of a SpaceX rocket piece in North Carolina in the last year. So last October, a Virginia pilot reported at the time that a 15-foot-long section of a SpaceX rocket was found on a beach near Hatteras Village. It was identified by the newspaper as part of the rocket's jettison nose cone. And yes, SpaceX did confirm yesterday that the 10-foot by 6-foot piece of metal discovered on Sunday was definitely a piece of their rocket. Again, washed ashore near where this other strange object that is probably a buoy was found. And yes, this rocket didn't land on the beach, but was more than likely washed ashore from rough seas. So I think that kind of sums up what this strange object was. If these pieces of rockets are coming from hundreds of miles away from the ocean, I'm sure that this is just an explainable object. So that wraps up the news for this week here on the Paranormal News Insider. Hope you enjoyed that. And again, stay tuned on the social media, Facebook, facebook.com/Paranormal News Insider, and also Twitter. They're actually combined. So if you want to follow one or the other, everybody has their favorite. Some people don't like Facebook. Some people don't like Twitter. I get it. I'm trying to get into Instagram a little bit more because I think that's where a lot of people are headed. And I'll get that ironed out pretty soon. I'll get you some of this stuff on Instagram and try to get some of these pictures that I put in here. I'll put into some context. Maybe I'll write a blog for this week so you can see some of these pictures, and I'll put that out as well. But in the interim, you'll hear me next week, and hopefully I'll see you next week right here on ParanormalKing.com and the Paranormal King Radio Network. But for now, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.